with regards to this majlis, this gathering. A few words are discussed on a regular basis. Because this gathering, this majlis, is for the purpose of tazkiyah and tafsiyah, for rectification and purification, and the objective for us to sit and gather is the same. And so due to this, the points that are beneficial for us, for this journey of suluk, for our destination, to get to our destination, for our purification, we discuss some of the beautiful examples of our pious predecessors and their teachings. And we may have heard of these things before, but by reminding ourselves and again and again and again and again, we revise the subject matter, we understand what we are about so that we can attain our objective. So yesterday, when we had the discussion, and as I was mentioning, that Raza-i Haq, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our objective. This is our prime and main purpose of life. And to attain the pleasure of Allah, the important thing that we need to understand is step number one, and in the light of the Quran and the Sharia, we learn that step number one to attain Allah ta'ala's pleasure is the talab, is the desire, is to have the desire, the want, the passion, the need to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, to get close to Allah. So this is the first step, the first principle to get close to Allah, is that a person needs to have that desire in the heart, the intention, the want. When a person has this, then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors and the paths become clear. So which path is this that Allah Ta'ala opens up? And today we will discuss this so we can understand the next step, so we can realize that once we have the desire, the want, and the need, then what is the second stage? That the second stage, so that Allah Ta'ala, if He gives us this understanding, and we understand this in our minds and our hearts, then how the help of Allah comes to that person, the traveler. When Allah Ta'ala's help descends, and Allah helps His servant, that we need to understand that the most important factor in this path is Islah. We need to do our own islah. If I don't do my islah, if I don't improve myself, how will I get close to Allah? If I have the desire, the talab, and I don't have islah, then I cannot get close to Allah, can I? If I have a desire and I don't purify and improve myself and rectify myself, so the most important thing to do this, bahir and batin, to clean and purify my external and internal self. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared this for His servant, for the human beings on the earth, for us to do our islah. And islah, I cannot do myself. Yeah. So I've got the desire, I want to do the right things. So now how do I improve myself, purify myself, clean myself externally and internally? I can't do it myself. No man can say that, oh, I will self-teach myself. No man will say that, oh, I'm wrong. Rather, if somebody gives him feedback, negative, will say, oh, how can you tell me I'm this? And he'll hit out at him. He won't even allow for somebody to give him feedback. He'll say, no, I'm a humble person, I'm sincere, don't tell me I've got deficiencies. And if somebody tells him something, then you suddenly realize that has he got pride in his heart or not? He'll get angry himself. But he'll say that you just told me you're humble and I'm telling you that there's a defect, and then you're criticizing me. So this is islah, when a person, through the teaching of another, improves himself. So when a person has talab, has a desire, Allah Ta'ala wants then that servant to reach to his conclusion in a positive way. So that person then has to do his or her islah, improvement. And the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time until now, the method that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, since Islam was revealed to mankind, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he was the Prophet of Allah, the final Prophet, the greatest Prophet. And through one second of his company, the Sahaba, the blessed companions, became companions. And through their companionship became the Tabi'een. And then through their companionship became the Tabi'een and the Awliyaullah. Onwards from that. So Allah Ta'ala says that after the Prophet ﷺ, what preparation have I made? Is that any human being who has Iman goes and takes the company, sohbat, of a pious person, then he'll get the ability to do Islah. So if you have the sohbat, then you realize Allah Ta'ala's help is coming. So first step number one is talab, desire. If my desire is honest and sincere and truthful, then Allah Ta'ala says that then step number two is your islah, to for you to improve and be purified as a human being. And then Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the company of my wali as my friend, my friend's company, because without the company of a wali, of a sheikh, of a teacher, a person cannot do his islah. from our mashayikh, a great sheikh has passed away. And you brothers should be aware, or you people should be aware of your silsila, of the order, the series of our teachers back to the Prophet ﷺ. And this Ajiz humble servant has written this book, published this book, Salasil Salare Naqshbandiya. And you probably will have read it. So this book is in English and in Urdu. Very concise chapters on the sheikhs, from my sheikh all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ, and the events and the stories of our sheikhs in this series. And as I said, the more stronger is the link with the teacher or the teachers, the more quicker your islah will occur. And is Salare Naqshbandiya, with regards to the salasil, with regards to the series, the chain of the sheikhs, you can read it in English or Urdu, depending on what you're more comfortable with. Every day, put this into your habit and your routine, that a few pages of this book you read. And that's why I read this kitab, so that we can read, understand, create love and understanding of our mashaykh in our silsila back to Rasulullah, so we can see their halat, their conditions, their lives. We learn from them, we bring into our life, so we can revise and see that how did they spend their life, how did they save themselves from sin, how spirituality came into their lives, how they became good human beings. And this will help us in our travels as well, in our journey. So Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Gajdawani Rahmatullah Alayhi was a great sheikh from our silsila. And I'm mentioning this sheikh because all of the mashaykh are great. All scholars and great mashaykh. There are 38 sheikhs in our silsila back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Gajdawani Rahmatullah Alayhi, his speciality was what? That Allah Ta'ala gave us the tariqah of dhikr. And there's one lesson of dhikr, habs-e nafs, which is to hold the breath and do dhikr. And he was given this great gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ni'mah, which is continuing until today. Nafs, habz-e nafs, pas and fast, some people call it. And this dhikr, this lesson of dhikr, didn't come from Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband. This came from Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Ghajdawani Rahmatullah Alayhi. Great, azim sheikh, great sheikh. And you can say he was born a wali of Allah. Born a wali of Allah. And he wasn't a small habz-e nafs. Hazrat Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was from the family of Hazrat Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi. Close. And his mother was also from a great family. And she had great ancestor. And Hazrat Abdul Jalil Rahmatullah was one of her ancestors from the mother of Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Rahmatullah. And he was a great sheikh from the muttaqis of that time. Great sheikh of that time. The sheikh, the relative of the mother of Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Rahmatullah. And he was such a great sheikh that Hazrat Khizr Rahmatullah alayhi salam came to him and gave him good news that from your family a child will be born soon. And he will be azim, great sheikh. And that was Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Ghajdawani Rahmatullah Alayhi. Rahmatullah Alayhi. May Allah's mercy be upon him. So, when he was born, Alhamdulillah, and what was his hal, his condition, his wilayat, his rank, his status, and what Allah Ta'ala must have given to him from a young age, tarbiyah, Quran, tafsir, and fiqh, and jurisprudence. And when he was a graduate, then he used to be silent. And when there was a thirst and a desire and a need, and he was quiet and he would go and sit in a garden in the fields, and he didn't understand himself that what am I seeking, what will I receive. And he had the talab, he had the desire, he was searching, and he was a great personality at that time even. And Allah Ta'ala gave him the martaba, the rank and the status, and he had the closeness to Allah. But Allah Ta'ala was to show him the path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted, helped, and then Allah Ta'ala sent him to a wali, to a sheikh. And that sheikh said, my son, why are you worrying and pondering? And he said, I don't understand, Hazrat, I keep on thinking and reflecting. So Hazrat said, okay, what you do is go to Bukhara. And there's Abu Yusuf Hamdani. There was a sheikh, there's a sheikh there. It looks like your destiny is there. Go and create a link with him, and inshallah, he will solve your issue. So he heard this, and in his heart a nur came. Because when a person has a desire, a want, he's searching, then what happens is suddenly the man sets himself, he's adjusted automatically, because he doesn't need to ask anyone. He knows when he goes somewhere, he went to the company, Allah Ta'ala sent him, and he's trapped there. And then he knows, yeah, I'm fitting into this arrangement. And he said that he didn't know that this was to be my future. Allah Ta'ala sent him there, Allah Ta'ala adjusted him there, Allah Ta'ala made him compatible. So he went on that journey, he went to Bukhara, quite far away. Soon as he went into the company of the sheikh, subhanallah, he was a great sheikh in Bukhara, Naqshbandi silsila, wali of Allah, Hazrat Hamdani rahmatullah alayhi. And Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Rahmatullah, when he saw him, he recognized that this is a sheikh, a wali of Allah, stayed in his company. So Hazrat Abdul Khaliq Gajwani Rahmatullah said that when I went to the company of the sheikh, then I saw the difference in me within days was like the difference between the heavens and the earth, even though he was a great sheikh himself. And until his last moments, with the tears, he said that Gajwani, that the success you are leaving with is that the Gajwani is leaving this town, whether the rank and status is due to the company of my Shaykh I've attained this. Allah Ta'ala has made this method, and I'm telling you this from our pious predecessors, by rubbing our foreheads ourselves into the ground, we cannot attain the path. Why? Because we know this is shaitan, or is it me? I don't know. Is this wasawis, whispering of shaitan, or my thoughts, or is this my benefit? And the person can't analyze, and he cannot disseminate, he cannot sort of sift through the learnings and understand, is this due to me, or is this waswaf of shaitan, or my nafs? So we can't make this decision ourselves. That if I do this be 4 times or 5 times, shaitan will sit to me and say, oh, I'm a wali of Allah, I'm Abdul Qadir Jilani, I'm with you now. You'll get big headed. Oh, Abdul Qadir Jilani came and I saw him in a vision, I've become a wali of Allah. And we realize he was shaitan, not Abdul Qadir Jilani. He tells you to leave salah, don't pray in congregation, he'll make all of your ibadah spoilt. So never try to reach Allah yourself. As with all other disciplines, it is very essential, critical to have a sheikh to teach us how to get close to Allah. Without this, we cannot get close to Allah. In our generation, Allah Ta'ala has also given us a great personality, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Rahmatul Ali, who passed away not too long ago. And he was a great sheikh and very great actions and fiqh and hadith and kitabs and tafsir. He fulfilled all of the disciplines. He had the mastery. And those who believe him, and even today, who recognize Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, they say that Hazrat was the mujaddad, the reviver of tasawwuf in this day and age. He did such a great work of tasawwuf. And how to he taught how to rectify and purify the hearts and the soul and the nafs of the people. And I'm speaking from the sayings of my Shaykh. Hazrat said that Hazrat Hakimul Ummat has done such a great work of the deen that he presented the principles of tasawwuf so simply today in this day and age to the modern era. The people, they were confused. They couldn't understand the principles of tasawwuf. So Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, he presented tasawwuf simply. And in his malfuzat, his kitabs, in many places he's written. And he gave this advice to his murideen, his students, that be careful of one thing, that without the company of a teacher, you cannot traverse this path. Sohbat is the second step. Step number one is the desire, talab, want, need, which we discussed yesterday. And second step, second principle is sohbat, company of the sheikh. And Allah Ta'ala gives this sohbat, the company. Then what's the sign? That when a person gets the company of a sheikh, then you should be satisfied that yes, now I've got the means to get close to Allah. And then a person, for example, when he gets sohbat, he gets a coolness in the heart. Yeah, I've come to the right path, I'm on the right seat in the car. For example, when you're traveling in a car and you're looking for the seat, for example, a plane booking or a train booking, and then as soon as you find your seat and you sit there comfortable, yes, this is the seat I was looking for, I'm comfortable now, I'm on the journey. Same way, tasawwuf, when Allah Ta'ala gives a sheikh, and Allah Ta'ala gives a teacher, then a person's totally satisfied and happy that yes, I'm here now in the right place, my teacher, he's guiding me, I know now I'm going towards Allah. And then all of the successes after that come due to the sohbat of the sheikh. And then steps 3, 4, etc. after that, first comes sohbat, company of the sheikh. But here, listen to a point, because time is short, we don't have a lot of time, we have to do dhikr as well, and this is a vast topic, so slowly, slowly we've learned this topic and discuss it, time is short. But understand this point, and I'm about to say a statement, note it in your hearts. This statement I'm about to say is that every human being, even if he has the desire and has the company of the sheikh, even then he is not necessarily successful. Not necessary. Write this on your heart, in your mind. Every man who has a desire, the want, and Allah gives him sohbat, company of the sheikh, but due to that sohbat, not every man benefits. Not every man. This is where a person loses out, because he doesn't appreciate what Allah Ta'ala has given to him or her. Remember, because company of a sheikh is so essential, critical, valuable, that shaitan, curse shaitan, he won't take us away from salah, he won't make us stop doing dhikr, he won't stop us reciting Quran, nothing. But where will he attack us? He will create whispering in our minds, and he will whisper into our ears to cut the connection with the sheikh, because he knows the sheikh is the foundation of prayers and blessings. Salah, forget the salah, forget his ibadah. If I cut the link between the student and his sheikh, then all his salah will be riyah and pride and fake. When he does dhikr, his mind will go somewhere else. When he'll recite Quran, it'll be temporary and not beneficial. So he'll cut that link. And the root cause of the success of the salik, of the student, the murid, where does he fail? A murid, a student, where does he fail? When the shaitan assists that student to cut the link between the student and the shaitan. Shaitan influences him in the dreams. He comes in the form of walis, and he comes in the dream, says, you've done dhikr, remembered Allah, you've prayed tahajjud, and you're pious, you've got spirituality in your heart. And then he is telling that person, advising him to leave the sheikh. And the student has love with the sheikh, and you lie down on the mattress, and then a dream comes. with shaitan. Allah Ta'ala gave him total power. Until the grave is reached, we will have the clash. Remember this point with shaitan. These points I'm mentioning for this reason, so the human being understands, where am I going? Who's my opposition? Who's going to take me off the right path? So we do a good deeds in our day. We lie down. We want to sleep. We think we're going to see good dreams, and I'll do ziyarah and see Hazrat and good things that I've prayed tahajjud, did dhikr with the shaykh. I've done all the good actions. As soon as we lie down, we see darkness and negativity. We see incorrect effects, and we see shaitani comes in the form of a shaykh. And look, what a game are you playing? Why are you with this shaykh, this teacher? He's not good enough for you. You're more capable than this. And then he wakes up and he's shaking in the morning. Oh, what's happened here? And shaitan has attacked and tried to steal the pearl from the person's heart. But those students who understand the sohbat of the shaykh. And a test comes in the life of a student. The student, then he balances himself. He ponders and says, the shaitan's telling me this is fraud and my teacher's not truth. And I came for my rectification and improvement. Have I improved since I've met my shaykh? Or have I gone more towards sin? Am I going towards sin or bid'at or innovation or wrong things? Or as a human being, due to the company of my shaykh, have I benefited in the last few days or weeks or months or years? You'll get the answer that you can give to shaitan. That, alhamdulillah, due to the company of my shaykh, I have benefited. I've benefited immensely. Then straightway say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and throw the shoe onto shaitan on the ground. The oh wretched shaitan, you are trying to detach me from my shaykh. Straightway, and pay attention to Allah and do what? Start doing the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. The Quran says that when shaitan tries to deviate you, run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah ta'ala for protection. And then what can I say to you about shaitan? He's so cunning. He's got methods. And how he deviates a person, we cannot imagine. And we cannot understand his deception and deviation. There's one thing to control this. That person should never leave the company of the shaykh. Allah ta'ala has given us this, hasn't he? Okay? So now, but we have to understand one thing. That one person, he will not attain benefit from the company of the shaykh. So I'll explain to you the point. If we want to take the benefit of the company of the shaykh, shall I tell you? Say subhanallah first. Subhanallah. That a beautiful point is coming, so we should praise Allah, isn't it? When a good point comes between us in our midst, we're going to share this, then we should say subhanallah. So what's the point I said? Even if we have the desire, even if I have the company of the shaykh, not every student will benefit. Even if he is pious, parsa, and he's doing dhikr regularly, he's remembering Allah, but he cannot benefit from the company of the shaykh. And there may be another person who's very sinful, whatever he is, but due to the company of the shaykh, he comes into the company of the shaykh and he understands this point, then he will never leave empty handed. So there's a pearl, a point we need to grab hold of and understand. Big point. And what is that point? I'm not saying this, alhamdulillah. Hazrat Thanwi, Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his Malfuzat, in his Maktubat, he has written this. He's taught us. So what is this point that we all need to learn so we can benefit from the talab and the company of the shaykh? May Allah Ta'ala give us all a shaykh. Ameen. And we have desire. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us the guidance of a shaykh. Then we need to create a connection with our shaykh. We have to sit in his majlis, in his company. There's one point we need to learn. Make a solid intention. Allah, through the company of this shaykh, I'm only sitting for this reason. And only for this reason I've made a link with my shaykh, so that I can attain the spirituality and your fares and blessings through the company of my shaykh. That's it. The rest is all secondary. Shaitan will come to me, you, all of us, and try to create different connections and relationships with the shaykh. Not that we're going to ask for dua, or we're asking him a masla or a question. These are all secondary connections with the shaykh. The primary connection we need to have with the shaykh, there's nothing wrong with asking the shaykh to do dua for you or to solve our issues by asking advice and give us Muslim asylum. But this is not the objective. The objective of having a connection with the shaykh is, Allah, I've made a connection with my teacher. I'm sitting in his gathering, meeting him regularly. I'm serving him. If Allah Ta'ala has given the student the tawfiq to do khidmat of the shaykh, great tawfiq. If I'm doing khidmat of the shaykh or love for my shaykh or I'm serving my shaykh, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala selected me to serve my shaykh. I should have one intention totally. I have no other intention. My intention is one, Allah, that I am serving, assisting in the company of my shaykh. Was Allah, I want your nearness, I want your spirituality, Allah, I want your qurb, because you are the khaliq, the malik, you are the creator, the owner, and you don't need to give us any meaning. means to get close to you. But you've told us, prescribed to us this path. And if I'm not an obedient servant, an obedient student of my Shaykh, then I cannot get close to you. So Allah Ta'ala, my desire was for you. For you I cried Allah. And you gave me this silsila and this Shaykh, a human being to be my guide. And why is he my guide? Because I want to get close to you Allah. My desire is for you Allah and nothing else. And this is a big test for me. Because when I see my Shaykh, I remember many other things. Oh, let's talk about dunya with my Shaykh and ask him to do dua for my dunya. Don't make this your objective. Anyway, I said there's nothing wrong with doing dua, nothing wrong for the Shaykh to be asked that, can you do dua for me? Or Shaykh, I've got some issues, can you advise me to serve him, to assist him, to listen to his words, to be in his company, sit with him, to do his ziyarah, to see his blessed face? All of this becomes ibadah, because these are all then means for the student to get close to Allah Ta'ala's rada, pleasure. In other words, you go, even if you're walking to go and see the Shaykh, or you are preparing a juice to give to the Shaykh to drink, and you have niyyah that I'm serving my Shaykh for the sake of Allah. This is all ibadah. Because in reality, you are serving, assisting, going to see the teacher for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And why are you doing this? Because the Shaykh is the wasila. And Allah Ta'ala, who gave the wasila? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Who gave the Quran? Allah. Who gave Nabi Rasulullah Sallam? Allah. And that's why we benefit. Who gave Salah? Allah. Who gave the Shaykh? Allah. Same thing. Parallel understanding. We don't have Shaykh, no bidah. So niyyah is the same. Allah, I want you, I want your nearness, I want to obey you, I want to follow Islam. Otherwise I don't need the Shaykh, I don't need the Quran. Do I? If you are there, tell me. I don't need to pray Salah if you are there. But Allah Ta'ala created all of these actions as means, and the objective of all worship in the universe, what is the purpose of our creation, is to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. This is Allah's karam upon karam, that He's given us many paths to follow and many actions to implement so we can get His nearness. And I'll just conclude with one point, that today in this day and age, we have a great faqih, a great jurist, a great alim, a great scholar. He has a great rank, status, he is a wali of Allah. And in tasawwuf and in ilm, knowledge wise and tasawwuf wise, according to my understanding, there's no greater personality in this day and age. I say this clearly. I respect him so much in my heart, in my mind for him. I've got it, and I'm aware of his life. I've seen, and in masjid I've prayed behind him, and I've seen him. And my heart says that today in this day and age, in the ummah, in both subject matters, ilmiyat, knowledge and tasawwuf, the greatest personality, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Muddazila Ali, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he's a great personality. And I'll tell you a point about him, that he's such a great personality. And what does he say? He says that my Shaykh, in other words, in my mind, I don't have the total event, he either said his Shaykh or his Ustad. And he said, my Shaykh gave me a nasiha once, advice. And my Shaykh, my teacher said to me, he said, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatum, said that my father, that your father, he's a great Shaykh. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi was a great scholar and Shaykh, the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib. And the Shaykh said, or his teacher said, that the dunya is with your father, with him. And I know, I tell you a tarqib. And Mufti Taqi Sahib is saying that my teacher was saying to me that your father, I know your father is a great Shaykh. And Mufti Taqi Sahib said that my teacher taught me what is the tasawwuf. So his teacher said, I'll give you nasiha. His ustad said to him, his teacher, he said, what is it, Hazrat? He said, this is your father, Mufti Shafi Sahib. And obviously your father's a scholar and a Shaykh. And the Shaykh at the home, he's not a Shaykh, is he? He has a wife and children and relatives. So obviously he has another link with his relatives. He has to have love for his children and tells them off, or he gives love to the children. Obviously if there's a wife and children at home and the Shaykh's at home, he has a different link with the family. He's not like the Shaykh, is it? So it's like the darkness and the light. Hazrat Sahib explained this, and explained this, the reason for this. We realize, why is this point here? There's a reason here. You can't just say it's black and white. Because the children of the Shaykh, of the Mushaykh, that what is there that they have and what do they lack? They are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the children of the wali of Allah, tell me, that for example, if a normal person, human being, is in the company of the wali and he becomes a wali of Allah, then imagine the children at home, they have requests and they have laughter and seriousness. So the ustad of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said, I give you nasiha, that he is your father, Mufti Shafi Sahib is your father. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, we were with dad, with my father, and we used to talk to him and play with him. Once I was walking with my father, Mufti Shafi Sahib, and he didn't give me a sweet, and I said, dad, father, has the manufacturing of sweets finished in this day and age today? So Hazrat Mufti Sahib said, I understand that my son is asking for a sweet. So the teacher of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib said that, my teacher gave me a nasiha, and he said that, look, I was sitting, and I was an alim at that time, and my teacher said, do this sometimes during the day. Don't sit down considering that he's your walid, father. Rather sit with this niyyah, that Allah, this human being who is in my family, he's my father and is my sheikh, and I want to attain the ruhaniyat, your spirituality, through his company, and forget him as a father, and just think this is a niyyah, and then tell me what you feel after. And I said, okay, fine. Mufti Taqi Sahib said, fine, I accepted that from my teacher. He said, I started this practice that sometimes when I was with my father, in the company of my father, then I would make this intention, Allah, that I want your nearness, your qurb, your marifat, and this isn't my father, this moment I accept him as sheikh, as a teacher, and I want to attain faiz from him, blessings. And he said, I swear that I felt a difference like the gap between the heavens and the earth. I felt such a massive difference between the two forms of sohbat, company. So my brothers, the secret behind the success is have the sheikh, have the sohbat, but the niyyah should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything else is secondary. You are serving the sheikh for whose sake? Allah's sake. And you realize that this is a worship action. You are pressing the legs of the sheikh, he's tired, and you are giving him assistance and help. Whatever subject of the world, if you bring dunya between the relationship of you and the sheikh, you're trying to earn dunya and money, wealth, or you're trying to show off, I'm serving my sheikh, I'm his student, I'm close to him, you're showing off to people, then you are losing out. There's no reward. You are making dunya rather than attaining benefits and blessings. You will be a sinner. You'll be sinner, you'll become like a munafiq, a hypocrite. Never, through the company of the sheikh, try to earn dunya and the world. This will become an adab. This will be hypocrisy. The taluk should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Link for the sake of Allah. If you go to see the sheikh, then you should sit there, think about Allah, attain Allah's nearness, and talk about spirituality. Alhamdulillah, when you talk to others, say, I had the company of my sheikh, I've attained blessings. If you start showing off, oh, I serve him, I help him, I assist him, and I do work for him. And I saw many people who were next to my sheikh, Hazrat. There was a man, I'm faqiriya, and Allah's given me a title, I'm faqiriya, I bring him rope for him, I bring help for my sheikh. And I said that this man, he will not be successful. Why? Because he was telling people, I'm doing this for my sheikh, and he's saying that my wali wala, my sheikh, Hazrat Sahib, was a great wali wala, and the whole of the generation in that time benefited from Hazrat Sobat. And most definitely, Faqiriya, we used to all call him Faqiriya, and he was close to Hazrat, and we used to respect him, that mashallah, he serves Hazrat, he's got the title from Hazrat. But there's a principle definitely in front of all of us that we need to maintain, that maybe we will have a little bit of company, we come and sit at Hazrat and see Hazrat with this niyat, Allah, give us your nearness, your. And this man who's serving Hazrat, he wants people to recognize him. I am the servant of Hazrat. I'm serving Sheikh and I'm helping my Sheikh. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In other words, wanting the dunya to see and recognize what he's doing, such a person will never succeed. So brothers, this is the second point I've discussed today that came to my mind. Step number one we discussed yesterday is the desire, the want, the need in the heart. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala gives the company of the Sheikhs and we get both things. Then the third we need to do is make a solid intention that we have understood this, that Allah Ta'ala has given us the fountain of His mercy. Allah, definitely I will utilize the company of my Shaykh to attain your spirituality and nearness, due to which my sins will be washed, my batin will be purified, and I will attain your marifah, your qurb, your nearness, and your love. Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.